All right. Yay. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our first call of 2022. Yay. I'm curious to know how the energy of this year is going for everybody. I think there was kind of a group consensus that most of us were pretty excited about a fresh, albeit like symbolic, but like a fresh start to our calendar year. So welcome to the first call of the new year. So excited about this particular theme, as I am with most themes, of course, but this one is something that I've been building up to for, I don't know, probably 5 years if I really think about it. But especially in the past several group calls, as we've talked about intuition and we've talked about guidance and we've talked about some neuroscience and we've talked about some really interesting stuff with regard to how to tap into clarity and how to tap into our purpose, right? Of course, purpose and our vision, and then how to create that along our journeys in LFP. So we've kind of touched on these themes throughout our time together, especially in the past year. And on our previous call, I can't remember exactly who it was, somebody, and if it was you, just raise your hand. Somebody mentioned synchronicity, or the theme of synchronicity came up, and I was like, that is a perfect follow on to the theme of intuition that we had been talking about, intuition and fruition and flow. So that's where we're headed tonight. We're going to talk about synchronicity and manifestation, which are two very heavily loaded words, as I'm sure you are all aware. Yeah, and we're going to demystify that terminology. And not that I have necessarily anything against heavily loaded terminology. I mean, we're human and that's how language goes. And I want to clarify, kind of strip things down to their verifiable core essence, if you will, and give you all some practical, not only actionable, practical things that you can do to start exercising these muscles and playing in the world to watch how this all works, but also to give you some grounding in terms of your own humanity, your own human essence, and the neuroscience, the neurology of your brain and also your body. And then also we're going to talk a little bit about, well, ecology, and then a bit about some metaphysical physics as well. So we're going to start here and we're going to expand out and we're going to make sense of it through the lens of synchronicity and manifestation. I am total transparency historically. So I've studied this stuff for, as you guys probably are aware, for a really long time. I would say since the age of 16, if I really go back and I kind of like check in or clock where my adventures began, maybe even earlier, maybe even 15. I started diving into some really interesting stuff at a pretty young age, and then I went really science heavy for the first part of my 20s. Well, actually, up until now, I'm still super science heavy. And in academia and in science, there's this stigma against anything that cannot be replicated, verified, falsified, and or published in a peer-reviewed journal 50,000 times from blah, 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 right? So science is important. I love science. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's very crucial. And I think that there is a very limited availability to what's actually going on in the universe, a limited availability to what's studied, how it's studied, and what we actually find out about due to kind of the biases and the cultural and scientific biases that are out there. So I also open myself up to and avail myself to a lot of research and a lot of information that's not necessarily like mainstream, like, verified by science kind of stuff. And I do this because it's my purpose. This is how I am. And it's important to me that we don't go off the edge of what is actual, right? So like I'm gonna use an example here that's pretty extreme, but like flat earthers, right? Like I just want to make sure that whatever we're dabbling in or whatever we're playing with, there is some substantive, some support to it that is actually excited and that we can actually use and kind of lean up against or at least experiment with in a tangible way, even if it doesn't make sense or science doesn't support it. So I guess all of this is to say I'm very mindful of playing in the realm of like anything is possible. I have no idea what's going on. We live in an infinite universe, and also wanting to keep things grounded and centered enough that we can actually like see the results and like see what's going on and make sense of it and understand it. So anyhow, these topics, because they are so loaded and have been very interpreted and construed in the New Age realm, especially, I just want to clarify that where we're going to be playing tonight is grounded in a space that's palpable, at the very least, and not total hypothesis or not total conjecture, or not total like fanciful, blah, blah, blah. Not, there's anything wrong with that, but that's not where we are. All right. So now that I've set the stage for where we're going, let's do an intro round, and we have a great size group tonight to play in some sharing and some reflection. So we can do intros. Let's do name, location. How are you feeling? Help us tune into how you're feeling right now. And then a curiosity that you have about synchronicity or manifestation, like a curiosity or something you'd like to learn, something that doesn't make sense to you, something that you'd like to have by the end of the call, anything that kind of led you to show up here today, and that might be helpful for me to know so that I can log it and hopefully touch on it along our journey tonight. So name, location, how you feeling, and any questions about the topics. And I'll start with Amy, because I haven't seen you in a million years.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amy. I am from right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, geez, you would think I would know this. What else do you want to know? Oh, how am I feeling?
This is what happens when you don't show up on a call for a few months.
I know. It's really bad. I'm feeling like I'm going to be like a Debbie Downer, which is usually not who I am. So one of the reasons why I got on this call, actually, to kind of lift me up from this. So, yeah, I'm feeling kind of down, and I'm not really – I mean, I do know why, but I don't know. So that's how I'm feeling. And any questions? I just really loved the topic. When I saw the topic, I loved it, and I really think it's something I need again in my life because – you know, when I think of synchronicities, of course, I've had some in the past, which, you know, Jasmine probably knows. I feel like it hasn't happened recently. And I think that's all like my mindset, too. I think I'm just kind of out of it a little bit and I want to get back in. So that's another reason why I'm here tonight. And as far as manifestations, to me, I used to do a lot of affirmations, and I've kind of stopped at that on a consistent basis as well. And for whatever reason, manifestations and affirmations, not that they're interchangeable. I know they're not, but for me, they kind of don't mean the same thing. But I feel like I manifest better if I have daily affirmations. So I want to just talk about them too, if we can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for speaking to that. All right.
See everyone and meet everyone. So hello.
Yay. Oh yeah. Who has not met Amy yet? Micah and Nicole, maybe? Amy, meet Micah and Nicole. Yay. Amy's an OG, but she's not been on a call for a little bit. So yay. Ames, is there anything that we can encourage you to share about what's going on with Below in just like a soundbite, or do you want to let us know what's going on or not so much?
It is 90% my day job. Mm-hmm. That's all it revolves around. Mm-hmm. I am just absolutely to the point of like completely miserable, and I just feel like I'm stuck. But yeah. If I didn't have certain things in my life, I could do it differently. But because of the responsibilities, which is fine, I just feel like I'm kind of more stuck. But I also feel like, I mean, there's a whole, you know me, I can go on and on and on. I'm a procrastinator. The list goes on. So it's me as well. I just need to get in I just need to get back on track. Figure out what I'm doing. So.
Thanks for sharing that. I hope it's okay that I add this. Ames has had three roles delegated to her role. So she's essentially performing three people's jobs right now under a lot of pressure. And so it's very understandable that there's a breaking point that's happening right now. Thanks for sharing that with
corporate
us.
Corporate, and they're just not hiring anyone and just, I guess they don't care if I fall through the cracks. I don't know, but that's what's going to happen. And I don't like that either because I have a good work ethic.
Right.
Just,
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. That's a challenging place to be in, for sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, and it helps us all to tune in, with each other in terms of where we're at. Especially when there's something that's feeling super, right? Well, I should say super just alive in any capacity. But I appreciate you sharing that with us because now we're able to, hold that energy with you and tune into that. So thank you. All right, let's go to Mia. Hey, Mia. Welcome back.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year.
Yay.
Even though it's almost over, I'm like, January is going so fast.
I know.
So I'm Mia. I'm in Georgia, and I'm feeling really good. Just really like, I feel like I say this every time. It's not like a broken record, but this time the momentum from 2021, 2022 is just first month, and it's just so much buzzing. I don't even know how to describe it. And I feel like whatever I was wanting to manifest or all the visions in my head this year or this month just feels one step closer. It feels more tangible. And I'm just juggling a lot, but in such a good way. I mean, last year I felt a little overwhelmed with all the juggling, and I felt just I don't have the energy. But this year I feel like I'm juggling even more, but with just feeling like I'm seeing results, just the CTI thing, which is the course. I don't know which of you are taking it right now, the Creating the Impossible that Dawn's Fawn sent out. But, in the beginning I was like, I don't know if I can take on that. I'm already taking two other online courses. It's kind of ridiculous, but I'm so glad I'm doing it because it just feels like it's the glue that's, just everything is working with the other. They're just like puzzle pieces feeding into the other. So, it's a lot of so much synchronicity. It's insane. Every day I'm just another sign, another synchronicity. This can't be. I can't take it anymore. But I'm just living in awe right now. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
I don't want to be on this call just to hear other people's synchronicities and, manifestations, and just to be in that energy, because I feel like it's a really powerful time right now.
Awesome. Thanks, Mia. Yeah, you're a synchronicity magnet.
I've got this poster-sized post-it note, I've plastered them all over the room, my bedroom. But one, I'm leaving one sheet just for the miracles and synchronicities and signs that are showing up.
Awesome. I love that. Oh, that's
I
so
just
great.
I discovered these huge post-it notes. Do you guys know about it? I didn't know. I'm not an organized person, but for the first time, I'm like, oh my gosh, these things are huge. They work really well.
Yeah, they're flip chart size almost.
Yes. Yeah. And you just paste them on the wall. It doesn't tear up the paint or anything, which is amazing. Yeah, I love
super
it.
Super handy. Mia's taken the LFP sticky note thing to the whole next level. Oh, I love it. Oh, there we go. Yes, I love that.
Oh.
Awesome. I love that you, that you're doing that. I was actually just talking to Deborah about, keeping a miracle journal, which is something that has been a really powerful part of my journey from time to time, where I will, like, I'll just jot down in my phone and then transfer it to my, it was like this little notebook, all of the like improbable things that would happen or the things that were like really worked out in my favor or things that I was like, oh, that's gonna suck, and then it didn't and it ended up being great. It's really great stuff to track. In fact, that's one of the kind of part of one of the action items for tonight too. So yeah, love that. Thanks, Mia. Cool. Let's go to Nicole. Hi, Nicole. I just saw Nicole in Phoenix and we had so much fun.
Yes. Crazy random 24-hour trips. Actually, wasn't it 24 hours? So fun in her amazingness. Gets me to be like, hey. And I end up on a flight and I end up texting her like, hey, so I'm landing at 10:30 and then I'm flying back out at 11:45 on the same day. So that's how my year is going. I would say my word has been fabulous all day. Like, people have been asking me, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel fabulous. So that is my word. Similar to Mia, like, just hits everywhere. Like, I'm just super happy. There's just a lot that's happened that I was not even expecting. Like, this month was really supposed to be my planning month, and it's become a major manifestation month, which is really, really awesome. So that's where I am. And I'm on the call because, similar to Mia, just hearing stories, curiosity, right? There's always something you think you know, you don't know, or your eyes are open to new things, and just always an opportunity to connect with others. So I'm excited to be here. Oh, and I'm out the Atlanta, Georgia area. I forgot about that part.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yay. I mean, that's a fun story too. Like, you know, last minute, I'm like, hey, Nicole, I'm flying to Phoenix all of a sudden. You want to meet me there? Also, my friend has an extra ticket. Like, my friend gave her a ticket, this whole thing. It's just amazing what happens when we just step into the invitation.
Yeah, and then we're going to have a Zoom call, like, in 2 weeks or something, just to catch up.
Hey, awesome. Yay. Let's go to Jasmine. Hi, Jazz. So great to see you here.
Hey everyone,
hey.
Good to be here. I'm Jess, I'm from Northwestern New Jersey, and I'm feeling really calm, which is really wonderful. I've been doing a lot of silence again recently. I got back into the swing of my silence practice, which helps to just really integrate all the things that I'm trying to manifest and, you know, goals and visions in 2022. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for that time and my husband really being on board with the things that are important to me and to give me that. And also, like, just the beautiful relationship that he cultivates with my kids when I am upstairs for 45 minutes by myself and, you know, they're sledding down the hill is really, really cool to witness. I'm feeling extra clear on how long it's taken me to integrate post-pregnancy since the surrogacy. I think there were definitely like waves of different feelings that came after that, but I think I realized the most of which I intimately connected with my cousin and his wife. Not so much the baby. That was pretty physical still. You know, that's just was my experience. But I think what I'm feeling the most of, it's taken time to process through almost like the loss of that, which has been interesting. Because it was just so beautiful and so unique, and it was something that I really cherished. And we still are connected, but I'm realizing it's taken a little bit of time, but I'm realizing that that has definitely been a process post-pregnancy. So I'm feeling really grateful that I had that with them and that I went through that experience. So that's how I'm feeling tonight. Curiosity. I want to get that tattooed on my forehead. I feel like I'm just forever curious. I find that I actually am like constantly consuming, and sometimes it's even a block, it seems like, for a creation, because I'm just trying to download everything all the time. And I'm super curious about how, without putting too much thinking to it, how you all experience and categorize your synchronicities. And if it's one of those things you write down in a journal, or if it's just brushed off and then reflected on later, like, wait, actually, that was a synchronicity that did serve me, that wasn't just a thing that happened that seemed like it was in line and made sense. The timing of it actually was really unique, or, you know, just what your experiences are and how then that translates to your manifestations without sometimes you even realizing. Right, the hindsight's 20/20 kind of thing. I at least find in my experience that I don't necessarily realize something is super synchronous at the time until after there has been like a forward momentum and something has happened, and I'm like, whoa, there's like dots that I can now connect, but I didn't necessarily experience that in the moment, and then my mind is blown, right? But I just would be curious to hear everyone's experience.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Who else has a curiosity around the, like the noticing of synchronicity when it happens? Like, how do I notice? Or when I notice, what do I do? Or how do I notice more frequently? Just like the noticing aspect of it. Okay, a couple of you, cool. Yeah, awesome, thanks, Jazz. And let's go to Micah, and I can hear you, Micah, but I'm going to step away for 2 seconds because the doggies just got home from the property and they are crying at the door and want to come say hi, so I'm going to mute myself for a second, but I can hear you.
Okay, sweet. I'm Micah. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm feeling definitely really good and clear, but it's been kind of a an interesting week. It's been very much like, I normally feel like I'm pretty level, and it's been like times where I've been pretty anxious, at least like my body's anxious, but my mind's like kind of like, I think we're okay, body, but like weird times like that, but then also like super highs, and it's just been interesting to just kind of like not let those feelings drive, but also still notice them and not try to change them. Cause I think that's what I normally do. Like, no, feel nothing instead. And so, that's been, cool, but it's just been interesting to kind of observe this week. And I don't know, I think I was trying to find meaning from it. I don't know. It's just, I guess, a human week, but, it's been interesting, so I'm feeling good, I think. And in terms of synchronicity, I feel like that's been, especially lately, I've seen it all over the place, but also, Jasmine, what you said about, like, curious on how you log it and notice it, I just, like, realized, and I've never thought of this before, but for some reason and it might be more with other people than myself, but I feel like I've always been like spotting synchronicity in other people's lives. For like, I've never noticed this before, but I'll be like, oh my gosh, do you believe you're doing this? Because remember when you said this thing or whatever? Like, I feel like that's a thing that I do a lot with other people. Actually, I just called someone tonight and I was like, can you believe that a month ago we were talking about this and now you're here? And so I think for some reason, like, look for that a lot. I don't know. I just like, it's just fun, I guess. Maybe that's part of it. But my main curiosity with synchronicity, I guess. And this is more, maybe also more aligns with like with trust more than anything. But I was actually thinking today, like kind of wondering why I kind of went into a little like mini spiral of, you know, like noticing doubts just come up and spiral. And then also at the same time, seeing all of these synchronicities that are like crazy and kind of curious about like how I can have both of those, if that makes sense. And like, why, like, I don't know. I kind of noticed myself being like, why am I having these doubts? Like the synchronicities are insane and they always are. They always are. Regardless of if I think they're going to be or not, like they just, you know, it just happens. But, why it's hard to feel that in the moment when I don't know, I guess it's just a human thing, but that's kind of my curiosity around synchronicity.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I literally had the same week. Like,
really?
I've had, yeah. So here's my share. I have had, like, I got back from my trip, which was like a high for sure. And I got back and my energy was like, and just like hung out at about 3% like Tuesday and half of yesterday. And it's like so hard. Like, I'm like, what the heck? Like, I have stuff to do, you know? But just observing it and being mindful of it. So I definitely resonate with that. And then today I was noticing, and we'll talk about this too later in the call. I was going to use this as an example, but it's so amazing to relate. Like having, like, I see the synchronicities. I'm like, wow, everything's so synchronistic. And then like doubt will just like come on in and sit down in the middle of my synchronicity party and be like, yeah, well, I don't really know about this, and that. And I'll be like, fuck, you're right. And then I'll sit there and I'll have a journaling session about it. But I had a breakthrough today around it. So I'm excited to share that with you guys. But yeah, that sense of like, how can we trust while also having doubt and skepticism? And like, how can we see so much synchronicity on the one hand and then be like, the synchronicity isn't real. It's not going to happen again. Like, that's just total coincidence, you know, it's just like brush it away. So yeah, lots of relatabilities there, Micah. Thank you for sharing that and segueing me into this. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it almost feels like silly that I don't know, like I can think, like see all the synchronicity and all the ways things work out perfectly for everyone, like see all these crazy things, but then think like, oh, this one tiny thing is going to be where like the whole, it changes. It doesn't work anymore. It's like going to, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of funny, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Totally. Yes. Thank you for that. And we're going to deconstruct that and make sense of it and learn some cool things around it. And the funny thing too is like we can know all the things, but it doesn't always click, right? And so that part that you mentioned a moment ago about just being able to presence it when we're in that moment of like the dissonance or the low, just being able to be with it and not make a big, you know, thing about it is grace, right? Being able to bring grace into the dissonance is so important, as opposed to like allowing it to catastrophize or implode on us. Awesome. Okay, so let's share a bit. I'm grateful for how much curiosity there is amongst all of us with regard to each other's experiences of synchronicity manifestation. It is really fun to hear. It's fun to hear other people's stories of it, of course. And for me, it's really fun to hear how people relate with it, with synchronicity or manifestation, like, and what it means to you or what it has meant to you in your life or the space that it holds in your life. So we'll do a round robin right now to kind of tune each other in. And we kind of just did, but we'll get a little bit more specific here. And I'll start with synchronicity and we'll do a round of that. And then I'll do manifestation because although there is overlap, it's not necessarily, synonymous in everybody's experience. So we'll do a round robin of sharing what our definition, if you will, or our understanding or experience of synchronicity is. It can be a personal example. It can be a kind of conceptual, like it's when this and this happens, or when I feel like this, or etc. So take a moment to, we'll take like 30 seconds just to reflect on what is synchronicity to you? What does synchronicity mean to you? Okay, so any volunteers? Micah, thank you.
This isn't original, but this is, I think, when I first learned about synchronicity when I was like probably 18 or so. And what I always think of, I read about it in The Artist's Way, and she describes it as when you move, the universe furthers and expands that move. So when you, you know, list a desire or notice something or, you know, just anything, then all of a sudden you're sitting next to someone who, you know, I don't know, all the different things like that. There's a million examples, but that's, it was like what it means to me, right? Now I'm wondering if I answered the right question.
Yeah. Like what comes up for you? There's no right. Don't worry. There's no right or wrong. You're safe. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for that. For those of you who's familiar with The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Okay, who's done the book? Awesome. Cool. All right. Artist's Way is great. It's a really in-depth dive into it's one way of accessing creativity and like discipline and the harmony therein. It's a great one. I have it somewhere around here. Awesome. Let's go to who else is up to share. Amy, thank you.
Okay, so to me, it's almost like a little shimmering of light, like a little tiny bit of clarity. Because I have a real hard time with clarity. So even if it's just like a little smidge of clarity, and then you do it, and it just kind of all plays out for you in a positive way. So like an aha moment almost.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. So shimmer of light, clarity, you follow it and things flow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. As opposed to like confusion, uncertainty.
Yes.
Okay.
Constantly just asking for a sign, and a sign never happens. But this kind of happens not necessarily when you're asking for a sign per se, but it is a sign, and it just kind of shows up for you.
Thank you. Who else? Chad, thank you.
I just added a note from you, Amy, about timing, because outside of timing, I wrote down, it's when energy arises that's in alignment for you. And so that could come in the form of a person, a personal connection, a physical event, a physical relationship, an offering, a call, of anything, any form of energy that you are aligned with outside of timing. It could come in the moment when you're putting the desire out, the instant that you want it. It can come 3 weeks later. It can come when you feel like it's out of the blue, but it's not, because you're just energetically aligned to that. And it's something that you have already put out into the universe. So it's completely outside of timing, which is why it probably feels like, oh my God, an aha moment. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. And how about you, Nicole?
So I see it as, I was just actually taking even more notes, but like
I look at it as something said, thought, movement. So I guess energy is probably in that similar, that shifts, that may or may not seem correlated at the point in time, but actually in sync for something to manifest or become real. That is typically tied to some level of flow or intention, whether it's conscious or subconscious. So when I think of things that have happened for me, there's been something I've said, something I've thought, or how I'm moving. And it's not always that. And I think that's where I see the difference with manifestation. Like, I may not always have it consciously as my intention. Like, I'm going to do this thing. But because I'm expressing it, it's out in the universe. And because it's aligned to me and my purpose, it sinks. Like, it's like all these things out there, and it's like, oh, since you're there, boop, here we go. And then that is like that glimmer of light or whatever the case is. And I agree, like, depending on if you've had expectations or not, that's where I think sometimes it seems like out the blue. But then there are other times that, because it may be top of mind in some way, that there is a direct, like, hit of, like, recognizing the synchronicity. And I think that's happened quite a bit. And I think the reason why, too, it's just, it's happened so much in that way for me recently, is I think why I'm seeing it that way, where it's, like, probably 2 months ago, I would not have that definition. But that's what's basically been happening for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Awesome. There's like a, I'm superimposing what I know about your journey right now, but there's also like this flavor of discovery where it's like, whoa, like that was there. That's what that was about, and this and this. And like the dots connect. I think Jazz mentioned like 2020 hindsight.
Yeah.
Like the, whoa.
Yeah. So to your point, like the, I think that's another thing about the recognition of things always aligning, right? Like, I think that's what you're saying, like, particularly with me, where there's things that happened, like, say, 10 years ago that based on, and that's where I think I get where the thought or the movement, right, the energy that I've put around something has started to bring all of those things together that may not have seemed to be correlated or connected, right? So that's happened quite a bit. And because I've been in that those moments of shift, it's very quick, much easier, excuse me, for me to recognize that they're synced. So yeah, awesome. That is definitely, and you weren't imposing Fawn, but yeah, that's definitely what there's been, just from conversations that Fawn and I've had, and I'm like, holy crap, like that happened 10 years ago. Now I see why, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm off to the races, like literally. So yeah, it's just very, it's happening so much right now is why I have a greater sense of what it means to me. So thank you for that.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, awesome. And Mia, how about for you?
I think for me, it's kind of like, yeah, the signs that come are like winks, little winks from life or the universe, just like kind of like, oh, you know, like you're on the right way or things are. I mean, one example I would say that just happened to me over the weekend, I decided to take a walk down a road that's further away from, I mean, I walk a lot. I walk my dog 5 times a day. So I feel like I know like the neighborhood really well. But yeah, just on Saturday, I'm like, I'm going to go down this road that I've never been down before. It's a little further away. But as I went down, I was really annoyed because it was like all under construction and like there's no sidewalk. They're building a sidewalk. So I had to like walk on people's lawns. Like there's literally like nothing to, so I'm just like, so at first I was annoyed, but then I'm like, oh, this is a good game. I'm going to, you know, this road is going to be symbolic of my journey, like, or of my manifestations, right? I'm like, so whatever happens on this road is going to be a reflection or a, whatchamacallit, like a prediction or like a vision, right, of what I'm going to go through in reality this year. So then it took on like a new meaning. It was really fun to try to like, weave in and out as traffic is coming. I'm like, oh, going through, you know, around people's mailboxes and stuff. So it felt very symbolic, like, oh, this path that I'm envisioning for myself, it's not this paved road, you know, that's easy to walk down like people have been down before. It's something I will have to figure out along the way, but it's also very scenic and really beautiful. And the moment that I realized this is what this road is for, shit you not, I look over at the house I'm passing, like hung on the like exterior wall of the house is a white house, this huge metal letter. It said, it was like an M, like right outside of the house. Like, I was just like, are you fucking kidding? No way. I mean, who hangs like their, you know, initial like on their house, but this one had it. And then a little while later, like I passed the stone sculpture of a pine cone. I'm like, I don't know the meaning of the pine cone, but I'm gonna keep it in mind. So when I went home and looked it up, I didn't know this, but it meant like higher consciousness, like the third eye, exactly, the pineal gland and the seat of the soul. So I was just like, oh my god, that is the journey, you know, the seat of the soul. And I mean, it was just like, this road that I've never been down before is really the perfect reflection. So this is the kind of synchronicity that I feel like I'm experiencing, yeah, right now. Mm. And I love experiencing. I'm like, every day it's like, give me more.
Oh, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that story. Wow. Yeah. Hi, seals. Hi, babies. There's an interesting thing in there where something occurred to you to see differently, right? Like the dissonance, or I don't want to make assumptions here. If you can kind of tune back into the moment, that like millisecond when it was like frustration, construction, annoyed, right? And then something happened, something shifted. Is there anything that like occurs to you that like happened in that moment?
What do you mean? Can you clarify?
Like, that flipped the switch.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't know, because I can see how easily I could have been just annoyed the whole time, or just like turned around, you know, like, oh, why am I going down this path, that this road that has no sidewalk? It's dangerous. It's not. So I could have easily not made that switch, which gave me that magical experience. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, when these things happen, I don't know how or why, but I'm just grateful to experience them, you know. I feel like it's not something that I do consciously or something. It's just received.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So I'll shine a little flashlight on, this is something that you all can take out into, well, we all can take into our lives and out into the world. So I talk about, you know, thoughts all the time, right? Like, we are not our thoughts, and thoughts are create the human experience, etc. Well, something that I'll be talking about in a few minutes here in more depth in terms of the neuroscience of it is around perception and projection, and what I'm recently been calling reality filters. And what's really interesting as a daily practice is to tune into, this is going to sound bananas, but I promise it's true, there is no objective reality out there in the world. There is no one way that the world is. It's even debatable as to whether there's like a world out there. But anyway, there's no one way that things are. We are constantly, for the sake of efficiency and for the sake of thrival or survival, we're constantly interpreting the stimuli coming in through our senses and simultaneously projecting out into the world a story about that, a narrative of that. We're painting the world that we interact with. So there's this constant like going on that we're not even aware of. We just kind of walk through the, we just go through the world not even thinking about it, right? It's like, ah, the construction on the street. I'm not saying this is how you were, but I'll use it as an example. So when we're going through life and we are feeling a certain kind of way about something, we have the consciousness practice and awareness practice that I'm like obsessed with everybody like building into their daily practice every day has such a multifaceted array of benefits and like openings for like Jedi level experience in the world. Part of which is it helps us to tune in with our felt experience. It helps us to have a greater awareness of how am I feeling right now. Earlier when Micah was saying like being able to kind of observe where she was at instead of like getting just like sucked into it. So in these circumstances where we're in like, we're just like, you know, like the construction and like this sucks, and there's always an opportunity to take some space and tune in with what else is possible here. What am I projecting on this situation? Because the situation itself is neutral, right? Everything in the world is neutral. We add story to it. We add judgment to it. And we usually make that judgment mean something about us. Like, oh, the construction is super annoying because I want to feel safe. And like, how dare they not build a sidewalk? Because, you know, so we add all of these like narrative flavors to our experience in the world. And we tend to, just because of the way that we're conditioned and programmed, we tend to kind of catastrophize things, or we tend to kind of focus on the, like, I guess the victim side of things, like, oh, I'm powerless in this situation. But really, that's not true. And so I love what you shared here, Mia, because it happened. And also, it's a great example of, this is my hypothesis, and I happen to know that you have a very deep spiritual practice and a very practiced mindfulness practice and a very abundant and like a focus on gratitude, a focus on miracles and synchronicity. My theory would be that that feeling, that frustration and that dissonance kind of hit an edge for you that woke you up in the moment and was like, wait a minute, like I'm feeling really low vibe right now. Like I'm feeling really like out of alignment with who I know myself to be or who I want myself to be. How can I make this, you know, and aligned? How can I come into alignment with what is versus resisting what is or, you know, fighting it? Whether or not that's what occurred, we'll never know. But I'm sharing this because we all always have an opportunity to take a pause and check in with what information is here for me. How might I be coloring this more than the actual thing itself? How might I, you know, what other perspectives might I be able to take? Or what signals are here trying to inform me of something that, you know, that might be a synchronicity or a manifestation, etc. So I just, that occurred to me because the annoyance and the like, the construction, like that's, that, those are like pretty, you know, not the greatest feelings to be having. And when we can notice that, we can kind of flip it, we can flip ourselves into the opportunity or like, well, what else is possible here? How else might I be able to perceive or project into this in a way that's more aligned? So a little bit of a tangent, but does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how, I mean, I would love to do that more, you know, make these switches. I think that would just make life so much more fun and yeah, just more awesome, right? If we can always flip that switch and see it from a different perspective when things aren't going our way. Because, like, I really resonated with what Micah said about, like, even despite seeing all these synchronicities, to still have doubt. And sometimes it's like, how can you doubt? But then the doubts are so strong. I mean, they're always, and they always come to the party, you know, like they're always in the middle of the party. It's so annoying. So yeah, that would be nice to kind of learn maybe then on this call, how to get rid of these unwanted guests, you know?
Yeah, totally. They're like the drunk, loud frat boy in the middle of the party. Like, can we just get him out of here?
Yeah, I feel like you just, like,
for me at least, like, fix getting rid of him. Because if I think of him as, like, the creepy guy or, like, the frat guy at a bar that just, like, won't leave people alone, that's, like, such a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
Right?
But what if they just won't leave, you know, and you can't push them out? Like, what happens then? Or they always come back.
Right. Well, there's usually, again, there's usually information there. So I want to be mindful of, like, we're not trying to reject anything or deny anything, but we're also not trying to, like, sit in a shitty stew of rage, you know, or annoyance. So it's more like, man, I'm feeling funky. And I want to distinguish something that my mentors of this recent year really, really, really helped me to embrace, which is that we're human. Like, we're fucking human, right? We have this capacity to feel all range of things. And I also want to be mindful of, like, saying high and low, because that's very loaded and it's very value judgment-y. And I'm not trying to say, like, low vibe is bad vibe and we shouldn't have them. In fact, quite the opposite. When we can be with the frat guy in the middle of the party and get curious and just be aware of it, most of the time the frat guy will just, like, drunkenly stumble out of the room anyway on his own accord. But sometimes in just presencing it and being like, yeah, I'm really having a funky moment right now, or I'm feeling really annoyed right now. It's not about trying to hyper, like, oh, let's switch that out with a rose-colored glasses thought. It's more like, oh, well, what might be going on here? This is interesting. And just kind of noticing it without dwelling on it. And usually the faculties will drop in something, some kind of a shift, some kind of a perspective, some kind of an understanding. But we're human. Like, we are literally designed to feel like this. We're not designed to feel like this all the time. And so the embracing of that and just being like, oh yeah, I'm having a human moment. Like Micah said it earlier, like, I'm having a human week. Like, I'm feeling human, is paradoxically, in my experience at least, very much worth trying on versus trying to kick the frat guy out, if that makes sense. At least not, like, rejecting it in a way. Like, oh, I see you. You make no sense. Okay, whatever. Do your thing. Here we are. What else is possible?
I mean, that guy, he's very result-oriented, you know? Like, he's the one who's always like, well, all these synchronicities, but nothing's happened. You know what I mean? Like, the actual thing hasn't happened. So that's the constant, like, thing that's popping up. Just like, well, I don't see anything, you know, I don't see your farm, I don't see the book being published, like, not. So that's the, yeah, that's the thing I want to work on, I guess.
Totally, yeah.
A few things that I took note about just listening, because I'm fully present, but I have my notebook here. I, like, had questions about, like, what about the frat guy do I connect with or connect to? Like, why is the frat guy... Why am I giving the frat guy attention? Why am I attracted to the frat guy? Why am I connected to the frat guy? What do I see in myself in the frat guy? Like, it's really interesting because it's like people show up because there's some level of attraction in some way. And then I was like, well, then what am I exploring, discovering, observing, or curious about with the frat guy hanging out with me? And that's not always easy, but I think about, like, certain people, it's less around, like, where I am now in synchronicity, but there are certain people in my life, and it gets back to what you were talking about, Fawn, of, like, I used to feel, like, so victimized, and, like, why do these kind of people keep showing up, especially in relationships? And then when I stopped to be like, what is the attraction? Like, we attract something, right? Whether we're conscious or subconscious about it. So when I started looking at, like, what am I attracting and what am I supposed to learn, then it shifted my perspective, which then made it easier for me, for those people even to, like you say, like, kind of disappear. Like, I didn't have to force them to walk away. It was like, as soon as I shifted something in me and found, like, some beauty in it, they just disappeared. And like that, it just made me think of like the other synchronicity part of it. Like, oh crap. Like I thought about this different. Like you say, perspective. I thought about it differently. I looked at what part I was attracted to. I looked at like, oh, that's no longer my attraction thing. And then they just kind of like disappeared. So it's just
beautiful.
While you were talking, I just started making these notes. I'm like, maybe I need to look at like maybe the frat guy, we have the same genes or something, right? Like, maybe we like the same holy t-shirt or something. Like, there's something why the frat guy and I still hang out. Like,
yep, that's great. I love it. And with the that's awesome. That's a great thing to explore just in general in our relationships in life. Like, if we find ourselves like with less than optimal or ideal relationships happening. What's going on there, right? What's going on in that dynamic? But even with, so Mia, with the example of the construction and the, like you nailed it, like this part of us that's like results oriented or like, oh, like this isn't efficient. This isn't safe. Like I need to be able to walk this way, right? Like it's an outcome kind of driven, need almost or impulse, and also though very much about the me, like I have to walk on this street with construction, right? Like, and so that's where like the egoic part of it comes in, and there's like a lot of layers to tease apart right here, but just to kind of simplify things, oftentimes when we're feeling funky about something, we're simply obsessing about ourselves like too much. It's just an over-exaggerated focus on self when things are like, like, you know, why is this happening? Or like, I'm doubting the thing. Or like, let's see if we can, like, how big is our ego in that scenario or in that moment? Probably pretty, the self-importance is probably pretty center stage, typically at least, or the ego, I should say. Yeah. So this is great. And I'm going to share some stuff that's going to probably answer some things in a few minutes, but for the sake of our continued exploration. So to highlight something, because this is such a great example. So creating our own luck and creating synchronicity, if you will, we really increase the odds of that when we take that pause and we go from contraction to neutrality or contraction to expansion. So what else, like from like, oh my God, this is never going to work. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm unqualified. Why is the construction happening? Stupid frat guy, right? Like total contraction mode. Well, synchronicity is, there's not a lot of room for seeing in that, right? Like, because we're so self-absorbed, we're so already in the like all the thinking. So again, the practice of consciousness, awareness, slowing down, creating space gives us space to see other things that we can't see when our mind is so busy, when we're so busy judging, when we're so busy thinking about ourselves. And that was a perfect example of like me, problem, judgment. And then like something snapped and it's like, well, wait, what else? What if this was about, you know, an allegory for my life or an analogy for my life? And what if there's possibility or opportunity here? And then whew, completely different landscape, right? Completely different conscious landscape there. So when we're dwelling in our own thought-created world in unhelpful ways, we're not creating a lot of room for synchronicity. We're like, oh, I just want to, okay, so where's the answer? Like, I think Amy spoke to this, like, you know, this desire to find clarity. It's like, oh, if I could just find the clarity, okay, where's the missing piece? Like, sometimes paradoxically and annoyingly, the more we are like trying to find the answer, we're like open to the answer to drop in our laps. We're so busy up here that the openness for synchronicity is really small. So sometimes oftentimes I would say as a rule of thumb, if we want more synchronicity in our lives, if we want to see more, if we want more insights or things to occur to us, the best thing we can do is just slow down and like quiet down as much as possible. Or grab our journal and just like I do when things like this happen. I'm like, okay, guess what? Dear diary. This is going on.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, of course.
You're bringing up, so I 1000% resonate with the quiet and slow to stop the chatter, because the thought is what deters the openness to synchronicity in the first place, the awareness to it. But it reminds me of what blocks us from being in those moments and being aware in those moments and present in those moments is, there's a story that my aunt had told. My cousin was playing football in the NFL, and she was very, very concerned for his health. Just, it's a different level of play from college to professional. And she told a story. They're incredibly religious, and it was a story. Basically, the bottom line was a dime, a single dime, was a sign that he was okay. So all of a sudden, she started seeing dimes everywhere. And it was reminders that her baby boy is safe. It was, you know, God telling her that it's okay. And the thought side of that, the not synchronous side of that is like, sure, you could look at it as it's a single dime. You're probably going to find them on the floor of your car or under your couch or like in the grocery parking lot, right? And it's not a sign from God. Okay. Or like, you know, whatever, Mia, you were walking on the sidewalk and you saw an M. Like, you could see that in any other light if you start thinking about it, mm-hmm. if you put your lens on it. And that lens could be, oh my God, there's an M on the side of the house. Or it could be like, it's the sign of their last name, right? But either way is this different side of the same coin. But the fact is that if you are willing to not put any human construction on that or meaning on that or ego on that, then it is the definition of being present in that moment. And that in and of itself is the, like, being in the expansion of your own openness. So even if you put good meaning to it or reality checking meaning towards it, it's still putting something on it. And I think the most expansive state would be to not have anything on it and to just be completely immersed in, I mean, it's like the most cliche thing, right? But like actually immersed in the moment, like present in where you're at, what's happening. And like that creepy guy's like frat guy, whatever, that's creepy. Like that's already like a negative connotation. Like what you were saying, mm-hmm. like, why is he creepy? Like, why is a frat guy creepy? I love frat guys. I hung out with a lot of them. They're a really good time. Like, you know, like we probably have something to get along with, you know? So it's like any meaning you're putting on it, result oriented, you know, is just outside of the realm of the energy that is synchronicity. Because like you said, it's totally neutral. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just really beautifully present. And that's why it's mind-blowing. So that it brought that to mind.
Woo! Incredible. Drop that mic, Jazz. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, let's get real with this, right? So there's pure experience, and then there's everything else, right? And then there's filtered experience. I'm gonna switch my headphones. These new AirPods with like the little rubber nubbin things. Crazy. Can you guys hear me? Okay, cool. This is my frat guy right now. okay, so there's pure experience and then there's everything else. So let me unpack that a little bit. Micah, bless her, has been helping me with module four, the new module four, the new version of module four. And we've been having a lot of fun, like stripping away all the complexities and like doing our best to really distill things down into these kind of concepts that we can do something with in a simple way. And what really is important to me, like my soul's work, is this conveyance that whenever we have the story of self, aka ego identity, whenever we have story of self and combined with evaluative judgment, good, bad, better, worse, win, lose, right? Whenever these two things are around, we are not experiencing the magnificence of the infinite present moment. We're coloring it, right? This is where the reality filters like really come into play. And this, again, this is neither good nor bad, here nor there. It's simply really helpful to know. So if I'm, and so module four, as we're working through it, this is so funny, I did not think we were going to go here, but module four is now inner thrive mode. So it's this description of we are all inherently thrive mode from the day we are born. We're all inherently thrive mode. The only reason we think that we are not thriving, the only reason we think that we are separated from thriving, is that we've been conditioned with a lot of personal history, personal narrative, ego, and judgment, good, bad, better, worse, good, bad, better, worse, right? So those things over time separate us, or we feel like we can't, like, oh, like, why am I struggling so much? Why are things so hard? Like, why do I feel so separated from joy, right? Or just like happiness, bliss. And so when we are aware of that, those are two really, I mean, simple, not easy necessarily, but two things to check in with. How much am I thinking of myself right now, or the story of myself, right? Like, I'm fun. I'm no good at skateboarding. No wonder the skaters don't hang out with me. I have no idea where this is coming from. I'm a terrible skateboarder, which means that I am not popular, whatever. Spiral. So being aware of this, these are our tuning forks. This is our system working for us. Whenever we're feeling like, we can check in with ourselves, and setting the reminders is another thing, but consciousness practice being helpful. But we can check in with ourselves. Oh, what am I judging right now? What am I placing judgment on, evaluating good, bad, right, wrong? And who am I believing myself to be? Or which aspect of self is the narrative focusing on right now? Oh, interesting. So who would I be without either of those? Oh, I'd be totally in the present moment. I'd be totally right now, right here. And there's something so settling and so true and so calming about that. It allows us to access our inner thrive mode right away. Not to say it might be a split second. It might be fleeting, or it might be a total epiphany, aha moment. But when we can just check in, who would I be without... Not even without the thinking, because the thinking is going to happen, but who would I be without believing whatever the thinking is saying, like latching on to that? So this is an amazing way to access synchronicity, thrive mode, our potential, like going like what Jasmine was sharing, pure experience as a human. So I know I'm kind of getting into the deeper stuff right now, but it's a really great opportunity to highlight this, and there's nothing wrong with coloring our experience. There's nothing wrong with having a story of self. There's nothing wrong with any of this, like what's going on. And it's really helpful to, there's something inherently wrong with eating Cheetos or ice cream every night either. Like, we're kind of predisposed to like sugar and complex carbohydrates. But it's really helpful to know how the body works and how nutrition works so that we don't go in a direction that's unhelpful, right? So kind of a similar thing where once we're aware of, oh, there's these two layers that anytime I'm feeling shitty, what are the layers, right? Like, what's going on? Oh, I'm in the layers. Oh, just who would I be if I wasn't focusing on those layers? I would be in the present moment. I wouldn't be in the story of whatever's going on. So that said, it's really fun to be a human, and it's really fun to be in like a really high vibe, like, oh, the M on the house, like, oh my God, what are the odds? Like, that's super fun. Let's have fun. Let's play, right? Like, all the time with all of you, there's synchronicities happening that are just absolutely mind-blowing that I get really excited about, right? As neutral as they may be, I'm like, holy fuck, that's amazing. So, but the important thing is to, the more conscious we can be about our experience, it's the more quickly we can access that thrive mode within us, and hopefully release some of the negative or the stuff that doesn't feel so great. All right, that was a left turn down a kind of relevant road. Circle back. Does that make sense? Like, did that land for you, ladies? Okay, cool.
I think what landed the most is just, it's just more fun.
Hmm.
So whether it's just like a sign from God or just like a random dime in your couch, it's like way more fun to be in like the higher vibe bar portion of that experience. So mm-hmm. when you're having like a lot of fun, you're usually probably pretty present also.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as you guys were saying your definitions of synchronicity, and I didn't even give my definition, I give someone else's. So as you were saying stuff, I was like, yeah, I need to think about this more. But I have a definition that really, probably because we've been doing module four, I feel like it aligns with that and kind of what we've been talking about. So my experience of synchronicity, I wrote down a natural alignment with highest self. And then I put an unexpected tap on the shoulder after easeful surrender. And so I feel like that's kind of like what I'm hearing a lot from all, like taking, I don't know, maybe just from like my frame, but like, yeah, the easeful surrender of like fun and just like that inner thrive mode. Like, it's once we surrender to like being human, you know, like having a bad day, having a good day, whatever, then it's like, I feel like synchronicity comes after that. And I know there's no absolutes, but I can't think of any time in my life where I haven't been in an easeful surrender. And I've noticed like that, like, it really does feel like a tap on the shoulder, like, oh, where'd you come from? You know, but, and also that made me think, I just want to say this about the frat guy. As soon as we said the frat guy thing, I instantly thought of a time, like my brain's just been turning, a time in college, I lived like in between like two Greek rows. And there was quite a few times where like I'd go over to my next door neighbor's house and it was supposed to be like a movie night. And then all of a sudden, like swarms of people show up. And at first it was always like, okay, like I wasn't expecting this. I'm in my slippers. Like, when are you guys going to leave? But eventually like that surrender, it was really fun. And those are still stories that I talk about now. And so, I don't know, it made me think of that surrender as in like surrender to that whole place, that inner thrive mode, and that being where synchronicity always comes from. And like when I'm missing it, I'm not fully in that place. And a lot of times I'm like criticizing myself for not being in that place, which gets me further away from that place. I don't know if any of that made sense, but I just at least had to get it out of my head.
Awesome. Yeah. That like unexpected, unplannable, spontaneousness of it. The tap on the shoulder. I love that. And the surrender. Thank you for that segue. It's a perfect segue. The surrender component of it, right? Okay, so here's some really cool cutting edge neuroscience that is so freaking helpful to know. So we have an incredible, so wait, let me back up. So I'm going to talk about what we are in relation, like what we are in the bigger picture and then what we are in a more localized way. All right, so bigger picture. We're pretty conditioned to identify with ourselves as being these independent entities in the world, right? Like, I am a pawn, I'm responsible for myself, it is all up to me. I get to like wear this definition of self. I have this personal history that I didn't decide for myself, most likely. And it's me, and our senses really, it's tricky because our senses are all, so we think, are all here in our like physical meat vessel, right? Like in our body. So it really feels like we are isolated entities like roaming around the world. And so we tend to think that if we want something to occur in life, right, that it's up to us. It is up to me. And this is where the whole, like a lot of the personal development, especially a lot of the raw personal development, it went down a path that's not super accurate or helpful, which is it amplifies the ego. It amplifies that, oh, well, you just tell yourself that you're a successful business icon. Tell yourself that you are, you know, you're going to figure it out. And not to say there's anything wrong with this. It just turns out it's not the most helpful way. So nonetheless, we are under the impression, under the illusion of separation, as it's been referred to for thousands of years, the illusion of separation. And what's harmful about that is when we conceive of ourselves as separate entities, we literally feel disconnected from the rest of the universe. And so it doesn't even occur to us that there might be other aspects that we are related to, connected to, a part of. And so we tend to live very selfishly, right? It really feeds the ego. The ego really loves thinking that it's all on its own. And like, so I need to be the winner because if I'm not the winner, I'm the loser. So this isn't natural. This is something where society, culture went like down a different road. And so this confusion around what we are in the bigger picture, if we're feeling isolated, fully responsible, and we've been told our whole lives that it's completely up to us, well, we're going to feel probably pretty shitty, or like at least pretty up and down about things, right? If things aren't going the way that we want them to, or things aren't going the way that society says that they should be successful or whatever, right? Good news is that's a bunch of bullshit. And turns out that wisdom traditions of thousands of years had it accurate the entire time. And also, surprise, surprise, Mother Nature. Mother Nature had it, is Mother Nature, right? You can't argue with nature. So when we look to the natural world and we really objectively study what we are and take a look at what we are, there's no fucking way that we are isolated entities. It's impossible for anything to be an isolated entity. Anything. Like, everything that exists exists in relationship to something else. Period. There's absolutely no way that that cannot be true. So, ecologically speaking, so ecology being the interconnectedness of things and the interdependentness of things, when we look at what we truly are from a very scientific perspective, we're in this cosmic dance with everything else. We're in this, like, to whatever degree is, you know, could be like infinitesimal to very significantly, but we're not just a fawn. Nobody's just a them. it's a me and the context in which I live and the world in which I live and how it like who the other things that are happening around me that affect me every day, the weather, the people on the sidewalk. So it's really helpful to just get it out of our heads that we're isolated entities. Like, you're not a solo journeyer here on this planet. You are a part of everything else around you, literally, like in the ecology of life. And that's really fucking important on so many levels. A, because it just alleviates this feeling of solitude and like isolation. And B, because then we start to realize, oh, wow, like there's so much more at play here. It's not just me. It's not just up to me. Like, and so my huge aha insight today that I had while I was journeying, literally today, was around this. One of the gremlins that likes to come around and just plop herself down at the dining room table and like shit talk more often than I care for is this gremlin that says, even though it might look like you co-created and manifested everything that you have, you're an idiot. Like, that's all been luck. That's all been chance. You've just gotten really lucky and you've just been at the right place at the right time. No, right? So this whole like doubter thing that some of you have spoken to, where the doubt comes in and it's like, I don't think so. Like, that's mm-mm. And so the way that I experience that is I feel like a fraud. I'm like, oh shit. Like, I've just been really lucky. Fuck. Right? Like, I haven't done any of this. None of this has been my doing. What a fraud I am. Like, what an imposter. And the imposter syndrome starts to creep up. And on, Lord knows that's not a good time. And so I'm like, I grab my journal and I'm like, guess who's here again? And I'm like processing through it. And bing, it dawns on me. And it's like not a new realization, but I like heard it, I think, for the first time or something in my mind, that that's kind of the, like, no, I haven't created everything I've created. I've co-created it. I couldn't have planned anything that has happened in the past 5, 6, 7 years of me like manifesting this. Mm-mm. I couldn't have ever orchestrated that and planned that out and like done it myself at all. And that's the biggest freaking relief ever. Like, that was the best news of the universe, because that not only alleviates this imposter syndrome, it's like, well, yeah, no, I kind of didn't. Like, most of that was forces beyond my control, that most of that was the universe at play in ways that I could never have anticipated, which means that anything that I'm trying to do, because this was all centered around me thinking about these big ass dreams I want ever to do or have, and that means that, oh, it's not even up to me. All I really need to do is show up and point in that direction, and like the universe is going to happen, and it's not up to me, right? So it like shifted from this, what an imposter, you didn't make your life happen, to like, you didn't make your life happen, you and the universe did. Yay! So realizing like that was the best news, realizing the interconnectedness and the ecology that's happening was really, really encouraging. And it was such a great reminder that yes, when we show up with an orientation toward listening to our intuition or listening to guidance, right? Or the things that we desire, like, you know, Mia with your flower farm, and like we all have these like things that we really desire. And then like the doubt creeps in because it's like, how are you going to do that? Well, when we remember that like there's a whole orchestra of the universe going on, A, and from, and this is kind of the part B to this, the more singular part of it is our brains have this Oh, Nicole had to drop. Okay. So long story, very, very, very short, and I'm happy to nerd out about this on a side call with anybody. We have needed to evolve two hemispheres of our brain with this thing in the middle called the corpus callosum that connects them. And the two halves of our brain do different things. More importantly, they do things differently than the other one. So the whole like right side, left side, most of what we've heard about that is actually totally inaccurate. So just want to say that right now. In terms of like, oh, creative side or your, you know, it's more so the way in which the hemisphere orients with the world and what it does for us. So as it applies to what we're talking about here, our right hemisphere sees everything and sees connections, notices the holistic view of things, sees possibility, can perceive things that we can't even think, so subconscious mind, you know, kind of below the surface of detection kind of stuff, and is the part of us that is the way that kind of nature is built to be, with this expansive, synergistic way of being. Now, in our human evolution, if we were to have just had that, we wouldn't have made it. We needed the left hemisphere, which is this very, looks at things very strategically, looks for patterns, looks for logic, looks for strategy, wants evidence. So we've got our right hemisphere over here that's like taking it all in, and then it filters through the corpus callosum, goes over to the left hemisphere. The left hemisphere kind of crunches the data, if you will, and then is supposed to pass it back over to the right hemisphere to then do something with. What has happened in our society is that our left hemisphere has been so focused on and so celebrated, because another thing that the left hemisphere helps or does is dominate and take control over and take things and grasp things and grab things, which over the course of our evolution has happened three times culturally, where there was an advantage to dominating instead of cohabitating. So we happen to be in the era where our left hemisphere is basically like the cultural, like pedestalized way of being, which is like the macho, you know, like ego be on the like top of everything else or whatever, right? So, and we're programmed to be like, make sure you're logical, don't be an idiot, don't look like a fool, make sure that everything makes sense, you know, like plan, don't stand out, like all the things that we have been inundated with. Our left, almost everything, our left hemispheric ways of being or ways of doing things that are really, really handy for the kind of culture that we live in, where there's like a very clear top and then the rest of us. So this for me has been revolutionary in realizing that anytime I'm hung up on like the logical or like, oh, but that doesn't make sense, or what if that doesn't work out, or like the doubt, right? Like, that's not going to work. That's ridiculous. How could you ever make that happen, right? Whenever that stuff comes in, I'll pull out my journal to do what I did today. Thank God my right hemisphere came in and was like, oh, here's the bigger picture. Here's the information. But just to know that, oh, it's simply my left hemisphere at the driver's seat right now. Oh, okay. I just knowing that that's what's going on helps me to not take it as seriously. Helps me to be like, oh, I see what's going on here, because it really feeds the ego, and like we kind of get off on it in an egoic way, like the construction, like, oh, the construction, this should be clearer, right? I'm totally dramatizing this. So knowing this helps to, so what we can do, right? So that pause, coming into presence, obviously really helpful, but just realizing that this is a part of our brain. It's not the truth. It's not who we are, and it's not right, and it's usually not accurate. The left hemisphere has gotten way out of control because we've conditioned it. We've told it that it's in the driver's seat. And then we've got like Eastern wisdom traditions that are very much so like right hemispheric, you know, integrated with nature, integrated with each other, right? So it's just a really fascinating thing to realize that which hemisphere of my brain is like in the driver's seat right now. And we need both, right? But when the one dominates, that's when we start to feel really trapped. We start to feel stalled out. We start to doubt ourselves. We constrict. We don't see the options or like the opportunities. So if we're in a situation that's not working, like if Mama Gremlin comes by and sits at the table, or if we're in a situation like, you know, that we don't want to be in, basically, our left hemisphere is going to jump on that. It's going to be like, like, see, like you have painted yourself into a corner. This isn't, that doesn't make any sense. Like your big dreams are stupid. It's going to not see the logic because it can't see the big picture. It's not designed to see the big picture. It's only designed to scan for like logical connections. So if it can't see the big picture, it's going to try to shut it down. It's going to try to shut down whatever we're looking at. So knowing that that's a part of our like brain chemistry, for me at least, and hopefully for you ladies, and I'm going to shut up in a second, but hopefully it's helpful in, it like depersonalizes it. It's like, oh, the gremlin in the left hemisphere is in the driver's seat again. Don't mean shit. Like the doubts don't mean shit. So if we're thinking contracted, constricted, most likely we can just throw it out the window because it's only this part. And if we're thinking expansive or excited or curious, awesome, because that's the part of us that can find patterns. That's the part of us that can access synchronicity or manifestation. That's the part of us that, the Amy earlier when you were describing the clarity, that feeling of the like the clear path, that's when we're over here in a more open, spacious. And sometimes it's a result of this kind of popping open, because I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but like it's kind of where I was today. I was like really in this funk. And then it was like, well, I'll be damned, huh? Like, and with Mia maybe on the road, right? Like, it's just like, until it like clicks open, the right hemisphere is like, all right, I'm moving in. This is bullshit. So what can we do to exercise a healthier balance between the two, right? So when we're overly critical, overly egoic, overly judgmental, overly pattern finding, overly rational, overly doubting, signal, boo, that's a signal. Lefty is at the driver's, at the steering wheel. So just ease off the gas a little bit, right? Don't take shit too seriously when we're feeling like that. But so anything we can do to engage the right hemisphere is really, really helpful. So I actually took a break, went downstairs. Maybe that's why I went downstairs and made some soup. And like, cause I know to do something creative. I know to do something that's like utilizing the right hemispheric part of me. So whether that's taking a walk or listening to music or listening to an audiobook or making a meal or anything that's not strategic, rational, like, you know, that part. We can just literally do a different activity and that'll pop us into a more like spacious way of being, a spacious way of thinking. And usually that's when we experience the synchronicities or the insights, is when we're not too like at something, where we've kind of like let off the gas for a second, or the clench for a minute. So do something creative, do something And I'll send you guys some slides too, or some like diagrams about what pleases the right hemisphere and activates it. And you'll notice that, yeah, you might rubber band back over to that but you'll start to notice a qualitative difference between the two. And the noticing is also just like, that's such a big part of it. So that was quite the journey through the human experience. My question for you ladies, and we'll do a couple circles here if we have the time. What might happen or what might change if you were to let go of trying to figure it out or control it, whatever it is, or if you were to let go of the need for it to make sense, right? So any of those kind of things that I mentioned around left hemispheric. So what would happen, like, right now in your life if you were to be like, yeah, I'm going to, like, just release that? What might shift or change? What might you see that you're not seeing? We'll start there. Yeah, and I'll just popcorn it to you guys, volley it to you. Jazz, thank you.
Honestly, what just popped up is super simple, and that's how I know things are usually true, is I just wrote down that it's just a reminder that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I like let go of the thinking, stop trying to control or make sense of things, I'm like, well, fuck it. If none of that happened, like the bottom line is like, I'm okay.
Mm.
I always have been. I always will be. I am right now. So it alleviates the figuring out of things. It alleviates the importance of that, because I'm like, I have to remind myself of this frequently. My left brain loves to play in its realm. It's like got a whole story, and it's can figure anything out, right? But the bottom line is that nothing really needs to be figured out. And most times when things get figured out is when I'm not trying to figure them out. So it's just like that surrender of control. Yeah, like, you know, the trying muscle is like the indicator. If I'm trying to do X, Y, or Z, I'm like stuck on that left side. And what changes when I pop out of that is just like that silence, right? That calm where it's like, nope, right now is okay. Like, this moment is okay. This life is okay. This, whatever you're talking about, relationship or what I'm doing, it's all baseline, inherently okay. There's nothing to figure out. And that's kind of like the reset. I really like your question around what activates the right for me. I'm like trying to think about what I do to pop, like you like talked about earlier, like popping against the wall, or like you asked me like, well, what clicked? Like, I'd be curious. That'd be fun to hear what activates it for you guys. And then also just other, you know, if you have like strategies of what you can do if you get stuck, like really trying to figure things out in like the best way, but still trying very hard. Definitely what changes is like that calmness, like it's like the wave rolling back out, right? It's like the wave crashes and it seems like it's a whole lot of shit and figuring things out, but then it rolls right back away and it's real calm again. So that's what changes for me, at least, is I just settle back down and I'm like, oh, nope, actually okay. Yep, actually okay. None of that was real. Actually, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. 100%. If we find ourselves struggling, like trying, efforting to the point of like, we are using the inefficient tool for the job. And that's where we've gotten things backward as a culture. Like think harder, right?
Yeah. Try harder.
Try harder. Yeah. Actually, all of the research points to the even Thinking Fast and Slow, one of the most famous books about how our brain works, is like, so here's the thing, like, do something where you're not thinking about the thing. Give yourself space, go home. And a lot of like, who was it? I'm going to butcher this, but taking cat naps and just getting into that liminal or the space of like between wake and sleep hypnagogy. So anything we can do to shift away from the trying and the efforting, bing. Yeah. That's when, yep, it comes through. Thanks, Jazz. Awesome.
Yeah. And mine is just for anyone, the thing that came to mind the strongest for me, as far as what activates it for me, is that in between state. And I find that when I, like, now that I'm back, like, fully like a solid month into my silence, it's like that's where I reach it. It's like I always get into that state where I'm not napping, but it feels like I'm napping, but I know that the world is moving around me, and it's like that's my like engagement back to the other side, and it works just so well for me. So it's one of the big things that I use other than getting out in nature.
Yeah Awesome. And I appreciate you modeling getting back into that practice, right? Because that's something that we all know we should do, but we don't necessarily do. And it's okay, like we fall off, we fall in, we do. And the more we do, the better we're going to feel, the more the right brain has an opportunity, or the right hemisphere has an opportunity to, you know, balance things out. Yeah. Thanks, Jess. So how about you ladies? Anyone else? What might happen if you were to just like phew, the constricting part or the logical part? Go. Yeah, Mia. Awesome.
Actually, I'm like, oh, actually, I don't know. I don't even know what I wanted to say when I raised my hand. I mean, I think it would just, the word that comes to mind is ease. Just everything would actually flow a lot more. Everything would be easier when you let go of that logic. I mean, one thing I feel like I experienced, so last year when I thought about my dream, my vision, and sometimes it kind of paralyzed me, and I didn't even do what I wanted to do because I'm like, it's just too much. It's too much work, you know, because that trying, that effort actually stopped me from doing any real action. Like specifically, let's say, you know, like the editing part of my book. Like I was like so overwhelmed by the thought of it takes so long to edit each chapter. So if I were to do it, it's never going to finish. So I didn't edit for a long time, and something switched in me like this year, and especially the last couple of weeks, where I'm like, where it came to me so clearly, like just even if it's a tiny action, like each action counts, doesn't matter how big or small. And then a visual came to me over the weekend, which I'm trying to keep, you know, so I don't forget. It's kind of like honey dripping into a honey jar. Like it's just like one drop at a time. So maybe, you know, like it's minute and it doesn't look like it's going to fill it. But I feel like each action that I make, even if it's for 5 minutes, it's each drop is going towards my dream life, you know. And I know that one day it'll overflow. When the jar overflows, that's when it will manifest into the world in a physical form. But it doesn't matter because the action I'm taking is just one honey drop at a time. So that's kind of my mantra now. What? Yeah. So with that, and that made it actually, then I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm making progress all of a sudden, you know, like I've been writing every day, which I'm like, I have no time for. How could I have time to write when I have 3 courses and a job and a dog? You know, it seems insane. But now I have like, yeah, I'm making the effort and it's flowing. Things are flowing. So yeah, I think when you stop trying and just take tiny steps, it really helps for me. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's tapping into the way of nature, right? Like a little seedling doesn't go turn into a flower overnight. There's a progression, there's a natural evolution to things, and our, you know, our logical lower hemisphere wants to be like, well, if I can't see the outcome, that's going to take 100 million years. What are you thinking? Don't even bother. That's ridiculous. You know, don't be crazy. That's a lot of work. And right, like settling and just, that's so beautiful. Thank you for that. It's a beautiful analogy. Yeah, great shift. Amy, Micah, how about you too?
So the question was, what, can you remind me of the question? Ollie started barking at your dog. and so I got like a little bit distracted for a second.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. So it's an exploration, a curiosity of what might occur, what might happen if you were to release the need for it to make sense, or this logical or strategic, or the, you know, anything that feels like that kind of left hemisphere contracted, you know, energy or perspective. What might happen if we're just like, we're just gonna like play without that for a day? What might shift?
Okay, I'm glad I asked, because I was kind of off, but actually the answer that I was thinking fits with this, and it's based on, Mia, what you were just saying. I loved the honey pot example, and like my first thought was, I think maybe I was thinking more along the lines of like what to do to like pop back into you. The other part of your brain, but I think it's the same for both, is like something that feels sweet and slow. Like when you said the dripping like honey, I, for some reason, that really resonated with me, and that can be anything. Cause sometimes for me, and this is like, you know, I know it's not good or bad, but a character flaw, you could say, someone would say, that like even sometimes if I'm really, really in that left brain place, mindfulness is hard sometimes because my brain is still really hooked on trying to do that right as well. And which is, you know, dumb, not a real thing. But I think for me in those moments, I kind of like the cozy chair thing that Michael Neal was talking about, like that he had everyone do in Guided Life, where you just sit down and think like, what do I want to do? But I think, Mia, I love the honeypot, like, and I think that's, those are the words to it. Like, just think about like what feels like sweet and slow and loving and fun. And I think if I wasn't in my left brain so much, my life would naturally be more like that anyway. So it would be like more full of the things that helped me get back to my right brain, I guess.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, sweet. Exactly. Like we know the feeling, right? When we're in a very different space of possibility and openness. Well, yeah, that's great. Awesome. Yeah, like beauty. Anything that sparks joy, anything that sparks creativity, expression, kiddos, animals, nature, yeah, really just not only diverts our attention, but also is like activating a different part of our, yeah, neurology. How about you, Ames? I'm so curious about how this is all feeling for you, given that you have some really real stuff going on.
My first thought was, I would get fired from my job. That's what would happen. Which necessarily wouldn't be a bad thing. But no, in all honesty, I just feel like if I did that and I was able to like release all of that, mm-hmm. I just feel like I would find my true self.
Like, wow. That.
When I feel the most confident or when I feel the most at ease with myself, it's just when I'm at peace and when I'm smiling and when I'm active and when I'm creative and curious. Which I think that's why I'm in that bad place sometimes because, you know, 9 hours a day, I can't do any of that. So I think what I learned and what I really need to try and find time to do is take those little, even if it's like a 2-minute break of just silence or coloring or something to just, because lately I haven't been, you know, I haven't done that. I've literally been sitting in my chair 8 to 9 hours in my basement. Like, it's horrible. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I'm not like, but yeah, I think if I can kind of remind myself that that's what I need to do no matter what, like it's a matter of like mental health. I think that will make a difference. Again, even if it's just a few times a day, a couple minutes a day, just to kind of get me through the day. And then, you know, I need to find more time. I've been doing meditation, but again, not like I used to. So I've been using an app just to kind of get me into the, you know, get into doing it every day. But I really feel like I get more out of it when it's just silence. So I need to learn to put more time into that as well. But yeah, I also love the honey drop thing because I love, obviously, you know, I love taking baby steps. Baby steps is my thing. Slowly but surely, something will happen. Something will change. And I still believe that. But yeah, so really it just, I feel like if I could release all of that, I would just find myself again. And that's a great thing.
It's pretty profound.
And I took so much from everyone here tonight. Like, I loved it. I loved it. I wrote so many notes. You're all so inspiring. And I really appreciate you all. Even the ones that I just met tonight, I really appreciate you. So it's been great. So I'm glad I popped on. Call that a
community. Here we go. Creating your own luck.
That's right.
Yeah. I love what you're sharing in your aims and like how it would reconnect you with yourself. Like the more you let go of some of that unhelpful thinking or feeling, the more in tune you are with yourself. I think that's, I want to paint that on a wall in your house.
Yeah, come on over.
because it's just so vital and it's so true. And, you know, circumstances being what they are, right, with the less than ideal situation at work, yes, that is a thing. And I love that you're tapping into the importance of the mental health piece. Like, what can you do for now, right, to let go of some of the unhelpful and tap into your peace of mind and into your health and presence. Yeah.
Because I'm a fun person, and I feel like this job is sucking.
It's, yeah, you are.
It's so funny. So real quick, when we do, you know, I'm doing the IIN, and when we do health histories, I've been practicing them with just random people. And one of the questions that is asked, like, when did you feel the best, whatever, time of your life? Mm-hmm. And I always go back to, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I was completely enthralled in LFP and doing all the coaching. And it's such a huge, great, pivotal time of my life. So I just wanted to let you know that. I say all the time. I say out there all the time.
That's music to my ears, and you're still here.
I know with everything. The one-on-ones, the team, and all that.
Yeah. Well, we're here. We're up to things, and you know, like, that's what's great about this community, right? We can create any kind of spin-off, like pod or check-ins or support. And I know that, you know, there's so much genuine and sincere desire for that kind of connection. So by all means, like, you know, if that's something that you think would be helpful or know that would be helpful, reach out to us, reach out to me.
Okay.
Let's get you more involved for sure. Yeah. That's so huge, right? That's such a key component. Oh my God. Nicole and I were just talking about that the other day, actually. Community tribe, because when we, and Jazzy and I have talked about this quite a bit too, like, it's easy to, when we fall off, it's easy to kind of get like lost in the soup of life. Technical term.
Trademark it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I like it. Soup of life.
Soup of life. Yeah, and just to, I'm just going to throw something in here, because I know it's helpful for me, is like, when I'm in a situation I know I don't want to be in, I'll find myself like thinking about how much I don't want to be in it. And that's something that I've the more aware of that I can be, the better, because I don't need to add, in Buddhism, what's referred to as the second arrow, where it's like, I'm already hurt, right? So why am I stabbing myself with the second arrow of like, this is terrible, why am I doing this, I need to get out of here, like, this is such a drag, like, da, 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 whatever it is. So just remembering that we don't need to like narrate our own horror story, or like narrate our own, you know, we don't need to dramatize it, which we, you know, I do. We all
do. And I do. I catch myself doing that, and I remember. I remember what I learned in LFP.
And we're human, and it's okay, and you know, like, it's all part of the oscillation. So good to have you on a call, though. Really, thanks, Ames, for being here. So we talked about synchronicity tonight. Didn't talk about manifestation, so that'll be next call. But we, I think, laid a great foundation for it. That's what I wanted to say before we hop off. So it's so funny, because that part of us that's like, feels like we need to find the answer, and it's like trying to be logical and rational and strategic. And it reminds me so much of like when you're driving and there's somebody in the back seat that's like, go left, or like, oh, you're going to turn left. They're like totally backseat driving. And you end up getting to the destination, or like you end up getting to the destination, but not the most efficient way. And like, you know, a much better way, but you were just listening to them to just like appease that or whatever. Like that to me is kind of like what left him, like, the right hemisphere is where it's at. Like, we don't need to listen to all of the, oh, need to do this, need to do that. In fact, it's that that keeps us from finding our destination more effectively or efficiently. So I don't know, that came to mind. Or like a little kid learning to drive, and the little kid thinks that it's the one that's in charge, and like, but really not at all. So just remembering that not only does that not serve us most of the time, but also that it's a signal that like we're kind of repping the wrong muscle, if you will, or the muscle that's not as effective or helpful. So anyways, little tidbit to leave you with. If anyone needs to hop off, please, of course, feel free to do so. And or if we're up for a quick takeaway round, I would love to hear takeaways. Who's up for takeaway round? I've got a scratching of the eye. I've got an Amy, not really sure. Amy, what's your takeaway? Quickly.
I'm writing a little thing that I got to hop off. I'm like, got to go to bed. My takeaway is just, like I said, I wrote little tidbits from everyone. So I just really appreciate the fact that you all were here tonight and everything that I got from each of you is, you know, I'm going to reread and possibly journal on and all that. So I just appreciate it. You're part of my journey. So thank you.
Love you, Ames. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yay. Awesome. Micah, take away.
Sorry, my dog just started barking again. I think the main thing is the slow and sweet thing that you said, Mia. You were talking about honey. I guess I said slow and sweet, but yeah, I think that's the biggest one. And also, I love the knowledge. I'm so sorry about my dogs, but I love the knowledge of knowing what's going on with the left and right, like hemispheres. That just, I don't know, it adds a whole nother, for lack of a better word, like, I guess, like, tool in my arsenal almost. For knowing, for dealing with those moments, and I don't like dealing with it because not even trying to change it, but yeah, just knowing. I mean, same. I felt the same thing when I read The Body Keeps the Score. It's like, oh wow, this is like, this makes sense, and so I can kind of almost have compassion for my body and my brain in a way that kind of separates me from that the drama of it. For me, it's like the judgment of not being able to get out of it or whatever. So yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. And also, do you have like books, or could you send us like some books or something you would recommend about that? Cause I want to learn more about the, I haven't heard anything that detailed about, the left and right hemisphere. That's really, really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, do I ever? yeah. So the psychiatrist / philosopher Ian McGilchrist, it's a 27-hour audiobook. So if you're really into this stuff, I highly recommend it. But yeah, I'll send out a couple of more efficient distilled links. But my God, like, super fascinating. Yes, thank you for that ask. yeah, take away.
Yeah. If I drop off, it's because my battery's dead, okay? Just to put it out there, it just showed up, the little, and I don't have to plug here. So I'll go quickly. I mean, I loved the whole conversation tonight with everyone, and I really loved the reminder, Fawn, when you talked about your gremlin, you know, the imposter syndrome, and how, and just knowing that it's actually, they're right? Like, it's not us who are creating these amazing realities. Like, we are just the channel that's letting the energies through, but so it's not our responsibility. We don't have to shoulder all of this, like, oh, you know, all this work. So it's much easier to say it is the universe coming through. We just have to show up and do our part to facilitate, or to just be the channel. And that takes the pressure off. And also that is actually what is happening too. And it's just so much more magical when we live in that vein instead of trying to take everything on ourselves. Like, I need to do this. I need to create that. I'm like, I ain't creating shit. I don't want to create anything. Like, you know, I'm here. Just use me.
Yeah. Yes. I am the drop of honey.
Coming through. Yeah. So thank you for that reminder, because it's always good to hear that and to have that reflected, because, you know, when you're in the brain so much trying to manifest, it's like, that's the opposite of manifestation, actually, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for relating to that. How about you, Jazz?
Oh my gosh, that was great. Mia, I was just about to be like, keyword trying. Like, trying. So one, when Micah just asked about the resource, the book that you sent me, No Self, No Problem.
Yeah, that one's a good one too.
They go into left brain, right brain a lot in the beginning part of that book. It was great. And I think I'm just going to go back. I've heard this just like a million different ways over the last 2 years, but it always seems to come back to the same message for me that I consistently hear. And it's just like a version of I'm not what you just said. I'm not responsible for the how. And like to be the channel and to have fun with it is like the definition of then being present. And what I wrote down before, just being open to the realm of what's possible, which leads to the synchronicities and the manifestations coming through us. And anytime that trying muscle is working and that like on the over-exaggerated focus on the self, like that egotistical, whether it's good or bad, just that overthinking self-important churn of thought. Yeah. Yeah. My trying muscle is definitely my ego. And I, God, I wish I had like a little angel to put it in check as quickly as possible. And to find those anchors. So, I took that away. And then what you just said too about them, like the Buddhism second arrow, I really like that because there's like definitely truth to that for me where, if I'm working through that thinking muscle, I'm in a place where I don't want to be, but there's another side to that coin. And that place that I'm in is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And it's serving me in exactly the right way. And I don't need a second arrow because there's really not even a first arrow, right? I can choose for it to be a first or second arrow. I can also choose to be present and like available to everything that's here for me in this position, in this moment, in this space right now, even if it's quote unquote aims or a job I don't want to be in, right? Even the story of I don't want to be in this job is also a story I'm making up. I don't even know if that's true, right? But yeah, I really love that. No second arrow, no first arrow, I'm going to go with. No arrows. Mm. We have enough arrows going through deer in my house. Sorry, oh my God, fought, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that, Jazz, unless you're hunting.
I did it again. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No more arrows, I'm sorry. Yeah, no second arrow. Buddhism.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad that resonated with you. It's a really powerful, someday I'll tell the actual story of, or like the koan, but yeah, glad that resonated. One more thing I'll leave you ladies with is we tend to identify the me as the me of the left hemisphere, I'm figuring things out, it's up to me, da da da. Like, let's not forget that like 95% of our me-ness is actually this part of us that's like figuring things out behind the scenes. We don't need to do shit. Like, honestly, we just need to show up, point in the right direction. Our system is actually working. Just because it doesn't seem like it is, doesn't mean it's not. So I think that's a really helpful reminder as well. We're not just this little like thing. Like, we've got a whole mechanism going on that's helping us out. So I will leave you with that. And thank you all so much for being here and for going over time. And we'll to be continued. We'll pick up next time with what to do with all of this. How to like manifestation. We'll play there for a bit. Awesome. Thanks, ladies. Mwah. Sweet dreams.
And everyone.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye.